want to see that the manager knows their stuff and they're in tune with their property. Because at the end of the day, if you acquire this property, people make or break any type of business. And this is a business. So not only are you touring the property, but you're also interviewing the staff. That so if you were to acquire the property, you'd want to keep them. As we all know right now, it's really hard to hire anyone.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Multifamily Monday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What's going on, everybody? You know the drill. Every Monday, we're coming at you all things multifamily, real estate investing. Every Friday, you know we come at you all things personal finance, because after all, we can make that money, but it's not what you make, it's what you keep. But on today's episode, I want to get into some tactical stuff when it comes to investing in multifamily assets. And this can really be pertain to any type of real estate investment, any type of asset class. Obviously, there will be some nuances to the different asset classes, but generally speaking, this can translate to the other asset classes as well. And so what I'm going to talk about today is specifically when it comes to touring a property. So you find the deals, you do the initial underwriting, and from that point, you like the deal, right? And I'm not going to get into the, you know, do's and don'ts and how you should be underwriting. That's another episode. And I'm not going to get in how to find these deals. If you want to listen to an episode on what I do to find deals, that was episode, it was a three-part series, episode 50, 52, and 54. So if you haven't listened to those, or if you just even need a refresher, I would highly recommend going back and listening to those. I also have free download for that too. And that goes into a lot of detail on how I find deals and also gives some templates for emails and things like that. So definitely check that out. But today, specifically, we're talking about what you do like a deal from an underwriting perspective, and you need to go down and tour the property. And so I'm going to take it from my perspective is I fly to my markets, right? So Greenbrier primarily invests in parts of the Sun Belt, so the Carolinas and Georgia. So I'm based in the Northeast, so I have to get on a flight down, right? But somewhere you can drive that still pertains to you. So what I like to do, so I schedule to tour the property. Say it's on a Wednesday, I will fly down Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening, get there, and then I will actually drive to the property that evening. I think it's very important to go check the property out at night. You can really get a good feel, especially if you're investing in C and B class properties. You really want to get a feel for the property at night, the neighborhood at night, what it feels like. Because at the end of the day, future residents could be doing this. They could be like, let's go check this property out at night and see how it feels. Are we going to feel safe here? Is it loud? Are there a lot of people outside partying, loitering, doing this and that, that doesn't make you feel comfortable, right? So I think it's important as a investor, as someone who's touring a property to potentially place an offer and then potentially acquire it, to check it out at night. Very important. And you can also find things like, oh, this property would need security cameras. Oh, if we were to get this property, we definitely want to put in new LED lighting to really brighten it up. Residents love that because that makes you feel safe, brighter. Recently, talking about the subject, is I just went on some tours of properties we're looking at, and one of them definitely needed a new LED lighting package. It was just dark. You also, like, what is it like to drive up to the property, right? And this one specifically I'm referring to right now is you got to drive through another property to get to that property. And that's not great, right? Especially because you got to, one, you're driving through another property. Couldn't they just go and go to that leasing office first? Two, you're really relying on whoever owns that, whoever manages that property to take care of it, make it look nice. What if they just, it's just a rundown property. They don't do any landscaping. They don't really care if there's trash, the loitering tenants, not good lighting. And your potential tenant, your potential resident has to drive through that first. That means they have to drive through that first every single day if they were to stay at your property. That's not ideal. So being able to tour properties really gives you a good feel of what it would actually be like to live there, what it feels like. And that's why it's so important. And that's why I recommend going the night before and actually getting a feel for the night. Because when you show up a day, it's a completely different vibe. One, a lot of people are at work. There's people aren't there. Obviously, it's light out. It feels safer in general. But when you go at night, everyone's home. It's dark. And you really get a true picture of the property and the surrounding area. So that's important. All right. So what are you going to actually need before, like before you go tour this property the next day with the broker? And as you can probably tell, this is touring properties with brokers, right? This is not necessarily off market. You can definitely use a lot of this. It translates, right? It's just replacing the broker with the seller, right? If you're doing something direct to seller, off market type of thing. So what you need before is obviously underwriting. Your underwriting is done, but you really need to know your numbers, right? It doesn't look good if you can't reference certain numbers, if you know, you don't really know what their occupancy is, what their average rent is, per type of unit, right? One beds, two beds, three beds, and so on. You want to know the market numbers too. It just makes you look better in that you're prepared, you're taking this seriously, and you really, really want this deal. So know your underwriting. I'm not saying you have to have everything memorized, but at least enough to carry on a conversation and have good reference points. All right, you're going to want CoStar or some type of market comp, both on rent comp, market analysis, what a cap rate's at. I'll reference this later, but you're going to use this CoStar report later. And the thing about CoStar is highlight, that really is not the place I go to get accurate rents. I think CoStar lags, data they get is lagging. So I'll go to like where residents go. I'll go apartments.com, Zillow, directly to the property's website to really get where rents are at today. But CoStar is good because you get to see all the other properties that they feel are good comps, right? And I'll get to this later, why you need that. Three is a good checklist. Things you want on your checklist. Obviously, questions to ask, which I'm about to get into. But, you know, you want to ask about plumbing. You want to ask about wiring, roofs, common work orders, all that good stuff. And I'm about to get into this. But you want a good checklist. And the checklist is going to be different per property, right? You're definitely going to have the basics on every single property you visit. But based on your underwriting, you're going to have different questions. Like maybe collections are really high. I mean, delinquencies are really high. You want to know why that is. Maybe utilities have spiked in the last few months and you want to know why that is. So the checklist might vary a little bit, but a lot of the stuff will be the same on each one. For a camera, obviously you can just use your phone, but you want to take pictures. We keep these in a folder on our OneDrive. We go back and reference and be like, this is a one bed. This is a two bed. This is the amenities, common area, landscaping, just so you don't lose that visual image of the property, right? Because sometimes you will, but you definitely won't lose the feeling. That's what I've come to notice is once you step on a property, you get a certain type of feeling, whether good, bad, indifferent, and you tend not to forget that. But sometimes some of the visuals you really want to just get, okay, so this is how this living room was set up. Oh, the washer and dryer was here. Oh, they had the dog park here and so on and so forth. And the fifth one is optional, depending on the market I'm in, I'll bring it or not. One of the markets we have a property and I can't, and that's a drone, right? And that's one of the markets we're in has an Air Force base. So pretty much no fly zone for that type of thing. But I like to bring a drone and this is optional. And one, you just get a feeling of the neighborhood, but more specifically, you get to check out the roofs, right? Because roofs are a huge expense. And unless they've changed it in the last 5 years or less, that's something you definitely want to check out. And depending on the market too, if you're on a coastal market, they with salt water from the ocean, the seas, they get beat up faster. All right. So now they're on the property you're touring, right? You're with the broker, hopefully the manager of the community, and hopefully the head of the maintenance. Those are the two you want there. And it's best to, obviously the broker's going to lead conversation a certain way, but if you can kind of get alone with one or both of them and ask some questions, and sometimes they'll just give you the truth no matter what, even if the broker's there, they don't care. You want to ask like, questions you want to ask are like, what are the common work orders? If you're somewhere down south, it's going to be probably HVAC and that type of thing, right? A lot of AC is not working. If they have garbage disposals, that's a big one. But you really want to know because sometimes there's things that are not common, but it's common to this property and you want to be aware of that, right? Like, oh, we get a lot of leaking in that roof, or whatever it happens to be. And I also want to ask, like, what are a lot of requests you get from residents? Like, are the things they want that you don't have? A lot of time that'll turn into amenities, like they want a dog park. And this is important to know too, because one of the properties I visited on this recent tour is they didn't have a dog park. And one, because they didn't have a dog park, they weren't actually charging a monthly fee. So there's one, an income opportunity. They charged a non-refundable upfront fee. I think it was $300 or $400, but they didn't charge a monthly fee. So that's an income right there that you could just create first day. And the reason they didn't is because they didn't have a dog park. That's not the only detriment of not having a dog park. The property manager said she was turned down by residents. They went other places because they didn't have a dog park and they really wanted a dog park for their dog. And come on, that's depending on the market, depending on what labor's at, and depending on what you put in a dog park, it's not that much money, $3,000 to $5,000. And you're talking about down there, the fees were around $20. Now let's do the math real quick. Do this math. Do it right with you, right? So let's say 50% of the people had dogs. There's 240 units, so 120 units, right? Times 20, it's $2,400 a month, times 12, that's $28,800. Divide that by 6 cap, which is high. We'll just be conservative. $480,000 you added in value property day one. $480,000, $500,000 pretty much. Day one. That's a no-brainer. And so you pick up these things when you're asking these type of questions. Sometimes they want different amenities, maybe like something with lawn, more lawn washers and dryers, right? Or they want hookups in the units. They want a better gym. They want more common space, workspace. It'll vary, but it's important to know. If it's an older property, obviously what type of wiring and plumbing, you don't want aluminum. You want to stay away from some of the old, you know, cast iron plumbing and some of the old PVC. You want to stay away from that type of stuff. So you want to hear copper and then some of the new PEX as well. You want to obviously ask when the roofs were replaced. This is big, right? That's another reason why I bring the drone, because that could be, if you had to replace all roofs on a big property, that could be six figures, right? And that could just blow up your CapEx budget. You really want to know when they were replaced. And if they don't know, you need to get that question answered. You want to know where their accounts receivable are. I always ask what's occupancy. And it's not that I don't know what occupancy is. Obviously, it's an ever-changing thing. So it probably will be slightly different than the data I got. But it's also, I want to see that this manager knows their stuff and they're in tune with their property. Because at the end of the day, if you acquire this property, people make or break any type of business. And this is a business, right? So not only are you touring the property, but you're also interviewing the staff. That so if you were to acquire the property and they're great, you'd want to keep them. As we all know right now, it's really hard to hire anyone. And on these recent tours, there were two that were phenomenal that I'll call it three that I would keep on no matter what. And they will make or break that property, right? And so that's important. You're also interviewing them. So you want to make sure they know their stuff. To me, that's really important. And then one question I love to ask is ask the manager, I'll ask the maintenance. If you had the checkbook, you can make any decision, what would that be? And you'll get varying different answers, but they're going to know, because typically they're going to give you the answer that solves their biggest pain point, right? No one wants to deal with problems and pain points. They want everything to be smooth sailing. So they're going to tell you what it is. So I had one tell me that they want the parking lots redone. They've had people that have backed out and turned away because of the parking lot. I had another one, again, that's the dog park, same thing. People chose another property because they didn't have a dog park. And so you really want to know what could make this property better, obviously from an operational standpoint, but really from a CapEx standpoint as well. And that's another big thing about touring properties. You really want to hone in on those numbers. All right. So we had 1.5 million. Is that really feasible? And you won't really know until you go under contract, you bring in your due diligence team and you walk every unit, but you can get a better feel than just plugging a plane on a spreadsheet, right? From afar. So you'll know, okay, well, we probably need more or less here in these units, amenities, landscaping, exterior. You can lock in a little better, right? And when you're on these tours, you want to really get a feel with the property managers where they think rents are in the market and where you could push or not push. Are they having to give away specials right now to get people in? It's very important. And the people like the units. Like, we're looking at townhomes and people love the townhomes. There's one property we're looking at that had the biggest square footage in these type of units, and they love that, right? So that's a big thing. This leads me to what you're going to do after you leave, right? So after you've asked all your questions, got a feel for the property, walked as much of the property as you can and get into as many units as you can. They're not going to let you get into this time. They're not going to let you get into resident units. They're going to let you get into the model units, any vacancies they have. Try to get into as much as you can, all the clubhouses, the common areas, the sheds, all that. You want to see all that. And when you're in the units, you want to look at obviously the plumbing, the wiring. You want to look at the HVAC, all that stuff. You want to see, take pictures of it all, because you don't want like a Georgia Pacific box, right? That's one that's not good. It's talking about the breaker box, right? And you want to be looking at all these things. But okay, so once we're done though, next we're going to move on to driving comps. And this is where you're going to use that CoStar. This is where the CoStar, because you're going to look at all the different comps they give you. And obviously ask the broker too, like, what do you think are good comps? But obviously don't go just on what they say. But generally they're going to give you some good comps to drive. And but then also hit the others on the CoStar and you're going to drive them. You're going to look at dollar per square foot of rent to see where you're at, what they're getting for one beds, two beds, three beds. And then you're going to drive those properties, because you can't just say, okay, this property down the street is getting $100 more. Why can't we get that? Well, then you go drive it and you say, oh, this is a little better feeling when you drive in. It looks fresher. The setup is better. Like, maybe we could get $50 closer, but I don't think we could bridge the whole gap. Or you go to somewhere, or you go to another property where it's like, the property that we're looking at is way better than this. And they're $75 higher per unit on a two bed. Well, we can push that. Like, because you get a feel. You can't just look at these CoStar reports and be like, oh yeah, our dollar per square foot is way off everyone else, so we should be able to push this. But you need to go and really feel those properties too and get a sense of, could we actually push it? Because maybe you're driving up to one property and it's just vastly different feel than driving up to your property. And it's just looks cleaner, feels safer. And it's like, oh, okay, that's why they're getting so much higher. And it's in a better location. It's got a Chick-fil-A, a Starbucks right down the road. They can got a little park they can walk to. It abuts a walking trail. These are all things that matter. You just got to think like, you have to think like you're going to be the resident. And don't be afraid to walk into their leasing office and ask, like, you're trying to get an apartment, have them take you into a unit. Ask what their rent is. Are there any fees that are associated with that, because see what the market is willing to take. And you do a RUBS, like the utility buyback, right? So, or bill back, excuse me, which you're charging for water, sometimes electric, trash, so on and so forth, to get some of that back, right? And so you can really see what the market, and obviously you have to know some states have laws against that and guidelines. So you got to know that too, but you can really get a feel of what the market can sustain and what others are getting. So that's, this is really important. This is probably one of the most important parts of the trip, is driving the comps. Obviously, touring the property itself, number one, right? But driving comps is huge, because you really get a feel for the market, why people are paying more at this property, why they're paying less at this property, where you can push. And this is very important. This is not a trip you take lightly. And it's also a great trip to get in front of brokers. And like when I was on this trip, we had quality time. We looked at, so I looked at five deals, three were with one broker, two were with another, right? I got solid time with these guys. And what's really great when you get out there is I think three of the deals that I saw, they're not been brought to market, and they do have to go full market cycle on those. Actually, four of them hadn't been brought to market. So I saw four. So I got to see them. And this game is all about speed. Because if you can act fast and the sellers don't need it to go full market, like one of them doesn't need to go full market. So I got to see it before anyone else. I was the first tour, and we've been underwriting, and we're going to really lock it in, and we're going to have an answer probably by Monday. So as you're listening today, we're going to have an answer, and we're going to probably submit an offer. And it's about speed, right? It's about speed. Because if you can lock it up before anyone else sees it and they're willing to do that, that's how you get these good deals. But the only way you're going to get that opportunity is to go to your market, be willing to look at other things. Like I always like to do the underwriting first, but if I'm already there, I'm just going to go to those deals, right? Why not? I'll get a feel for them and then we'll do the underwriting. Obviously, it's preferable to do it first, but all about speed. So if you got to do it, you got to do it. And hopefully it works out. All right, everybody. I hope you got value on this. This is a huge part of any type of real estate investing, is touring the property. You need a feel for it. What money's needed? How are the mechanicals? How's the roof? How's the parking lot? All that stuff. How are the units themselves? What kind of work do you have to put in to turn them? Is this 5,000 per unit, 7,500 per unit, 10,000 per unit or more? Like, what do you have to put in to get it up to the standards? Can you put in a tech package? Can you actually put in nice countertops, or does the market not really do that? Cannot sustain that for this type of asset class. This is stuff you're going to uncover. So this is really important. And obviously, guys, if you ever have any questions, just reach out. I'm always on Instagram, LinkedIn. Just reach out. I love to chat with you guys when you reach out. I love chatting, see what you're up to, answer any questions I have, and maybe even learn something from you. That's even better. So please reach out. And as always, if you got value from this, please, if you wouldn't mind, share it with someone else who you think you get value. Because after all, I'm here trying to help as many people as I can. And the only way to do that is if this is shared. And then also, if you haven't left a rating or review on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or if you watch on YouTube, smash that like button, hit subscribe, because all that stuff helps with the algorithms on those different platforms. And that's how I get in front of more people. So that would mean the world to me. All right, everybody. As you know, easy doesn't pay well, and instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get out there and work hard for your money, but have your money work hard for you, so we can all create the lives of our dreams. So after all, personal excellence is what's going to make this world a better place. So let's be the best we can be and make this world better. All right, everybody, catch on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review, and of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.